Be gone, Brother Nero. Be gone. Out. Delete. 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 Delete.
Place to be nation. Welcome back to another Pod Blast in our series on the 100 greatest WWE wrestlers of all time. We're trying to get to see who makes the list, who doesn't, and we're coming at you again with another guy. Joining me, as always, is my Can-Am connection partner, Mr. Ben Morse. How you doing, Ben?
Can-Am's forever!
Woo!
Yeah.
You know what?
Doing real good, man.
I'm going to use Girls in Cars as our personal theme music. Even though it was Strike
Force,
it's got to be ours.
It should. You know, it was originally meant to go to the Can-Ams if Zenk hadn't blown it all.
Yeah, what a dick that Zenk is.
Yeah, Tom Zenk, we're looking for you, buddy.
Yeah, we're coming for you. unfortunately, we could talk hours and hours on Tom Zenk, but we're not talking about him tonight. I know, right?
No.
Tonight we're going
to talk about someone who could be potentially considered Tom Zenk-esque.
Yes, absolutely.
In many ways.
We are talking about the forever maligned Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hardy is an interesting case in here. It's going to be interesting as it comes up. He's been in the company a long time. Now, for those of you, if this is your first jump on these Pod Blasts, we're trying to find the greatest 100 WWE wrestlers of all time. And the system we're using is the NJPW system, which is not a weird Japanese thing. It's four separate categories, and it's an acronym. And when we talk about Matt Hardy, the first category we're going to talk about is the N-nuance category. So nuance being longevity, variety, little intangible stuff like this. How do you feel about Matt Hardy in this category?
I feel like Matt Hardy excels in this category because if you think of the amount of times Matt Hardy has reinvented himself, which to me is his strongest point, is that he was with the company as a – if we want to start from his jobber years, he was in the company as a jobber through the mid-90s. Late 90s, him and Jeff became the Hardy Boys, and he became one half of a tag team, which I don't think – and we'll talk about more later when we get to work rate and stuff like that. I think their legacy on the tag team division is incomparable. I think they totally changed the game as far as tag team wrestling is concerned. But that was a very specific character, the Team Extreme – Matt Hardy, that he played all the way up to the Invasion. Then when Jeff took off and Matt was on his own and he turned heel and did the version one character, completely different than the Team Extreme Matt Hardy and completely entertaining, hugely entertaining with his Matt facts, with Shannon Moore, with all the stuff he did as Cruiserweight Champion. That's a whole nother era of Matt Hardy. And then he loses his job because of the whole Edge and Lita situation, comes back again as jilted, lover Matt Hardy, who has a whole another life to him, gets another renewed push as a babyface, and suddenly everyone loves him. He's everyone's favorite wrestler because, we can all relate to him because he's the guy who lost the girl, and that becomes the essence of his being. And then after that cools down and it kind of becomes evident that Matt's not going to follow Edge into the main event, we get another reinvention of Matt Hardy with this feud with MVP, which was a classic over the U.S. title. Mm-hmm. And he basically just becomes, beloved babyface Matt Hardy. And then he carries that all the way through to his ECW championship reign. And if you listen to our Christian podcast, you know how high I am on anyone who held the ECW championship in WWE. That's like instant gold for me. Then he had another heel run after he turned against Jeff Hardy. And they didn't have the best matches, but Matt's heel character was completely realized. And then he, fizzles out a little bit, leaves the company, goes to TNA, creates the broken character, which unfortunately, if the broken character counted for him, we wouldn't even be having a discussion, about his nuance, but manages to come back to WWE today. And now he's in this weird kind of rock star, late years rock star gimmick that he's doing now, and it's a whole nother thing again. So, just to run through Matt Hardy's career bit by bit, his WWE career, I think you see five or six different viable characters that he's played and played well.
I would agree with that. I think you summed that up really well. Here's a couple of criticisms in there.
Sure.
Number one, I just feel that the Team Extreme character was a very bland character.
Agreed 100%.
Almost nothing character to like.
I would counter by saying his later characters are all the more impressive due to the lack of charisma he had while being Team Extreme Matt Hardy. But continue.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Yeah, like if he'd only had that and another, like say one more, we'd be having a different conversation. But he's got like eight, right? So it's interesting too because it comes at a time when the entire industry was character driven, which again in a lot of ways made him stand out in a lot of ways. The only thing I would say too is that as much, and this is more of an intangible, like I liked Matt Hardy, but there was something I would say from after the Edge feud on, like once we got kind of past that. There was something a little unlikable about him, and I don't know what it was, but like, and I'm not talking about when he was a heel. Like it worked when he was a heel. There was just
I get what you're saying.
Like there's something about him that's just that little bit off-putting. And
honestly, I think a big part of it was he struck out with that Edge feud.
Yeah,
he should have become a major star with that Edge feud. And while Edge went on to become a main event heel, Matt Hardy pretty much forever cemented himself in the mid-card. And I don't know if that's what you dislike about him, but it's definitely a point against him. I don't know. There was something about just the self-righteous kind of internet warrior who, you know, was going to ruin this guy's life because he took his girlfriend. And Edge got some great promos in against Matt where he was just like, oh my God, Matt, you're such a nerd.
Yeah.
Like, you're such a loser. And it really, you know, he did at times feel like a loser, and it really came down to where you fell on that whole, like, I think it even like comes down to what your own internet persona was. Yeah. Like if you were a heavy internet guy, he was the internet's darling at that moment. But it does hurt him that he, you know, didn't utilize one of the coolest real life angles of all time to propel himself to world titles and whatnot.
I would say too that like and this is something I just thought about now. He wasn't good at playing regular people.
Hmm.
Like it's like you don't want Johnny Depp playing Marty McFly. You know, like it wouldn't work. But you want him playing Jack Sparrow in the same way that like Matt Hardy as a regular human being who's hurt by his girlfriend cheating on him is a real person.
Right.
But it doesn't click as well as Matt Hardy, weird guy who wrestles at his house and has a butler that prepares the field for decimation or whatever that was.
Absolutely. No, you nailed it. I mean, he never had as much heat and yet was less believable than when he came back in 2005 and was feuding with Edge. I know we're kind of lingering on the Edge feud for a long time.
It's important.
But to be honest, it's hugely important. It's what defined Matt Hardy's career. It's what made Matt Hardy go from being a tag team or cruiserweight wrestler to being someone who will always be in the conversation.
Yeah, and I guess that is an actual question is that were they right in not pushing him, pushing him to the main event based on that feud?
Mm.
Because the crowd reaction was there.
Yeah.
Like,
but this is one instance, Aaron, where the crowd was reacting to what was going on in the events. They were not reacting to the person. Because Matt had zero charisma back then. And I think since then, he's, again, just as we said, he improved from Team Extreme Matt to, you know, version one Matt. I think from Edge feud Matt to modern day Matt, he's definitely learned how to have charisma.
Yep.
But he just, like you said, he did not come off like a real person. He came off like a professional wrestler trying to play a real person.
Yeah.
During that period. And I think WWE was absolutely correct not to push him to the main event. He didn't have the promo skills. He didn't have the charisma. He could work matches, but that, you know, no better than a dozen other guys.
No.
I don't think he had the standout to talk about the second letter in our NJPW. He did not have the jump up by any means.
No.
Maybe not. I mean, there would be later times where I think when he was in his feud with MVP, I think he jumped up to a comfortable upper mid card level that he remained at pretty much throughout. And again, I would say his ECW title reign, he was a credible guy to carry the third brand, so he jumped up to that level, but never jumped up to the main event.
No, and very few truly great matches. Like, you have all the ladder matches.
Right.
Like, all the ladder, the tag team matches. I think those are all legitimately great. But you can't hang all of those on him.
Like, no, you can't. And you can't put him in just as a tag team wrestler. That just doesn't fly.
I would say my favorite match of his is probably the cage match with Edge at Unforgiven 05.
That was a good match.
Yeah, I would even say it borders on great. Like, I liked it enough that it worked. But then once you get past that, there's nothing. Like, in terms of moments, you have go on. You have something that goes up near there?
I'll say that I think you need to revisit the MVP feud. A lot of the MVP feud was built around the fact that MVP was injured and they couldn't wrestle.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of great, like, segments and entertainment. But the few matches they actually got to have, like, you had one at Great American Bash 2007 that was standout. And then the next year when he came back after Matt went down with appendicitis and was out for a while and came back and he had his blow off where he finally beat MVP for the U.S. title, that I would point to as a legitimately good. I think it was Backlash 2008, I'm trying to say, without anything in front of me.
It was. I just watched it not long ago.
It was a legitimately feel-good moment. Like, you felt good for the guy that he was able to battle back from this crippling injury and finally take out this rival who he had literally had a year-long feud with to finally win the U.S. title. I think that was a legitimately feel-good moment, and I thought it was a good match.
Yeah, I'd agree. I thought the match was good, and you're right. It was a moment for him. It definitely was.
Sure.
I would throw in too the moment where he came back, and was like talking about going to Ring of Honor and stuff, like as pretty high moments for him.
It was a great moment. It was unfortunate that he couldn't deliver the promo to justify the moment.
Exactly. And I would also throw in terms of moments their return this year.
Yeah,
like that was huge.
That was a great moment
and something everyone wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think where Matt Hardy goes from here is going to be very interesting to watch. I don't know if WWE has any faith in him as a singles guy. I don't know if they have any plans for him and Jeff as singles guys, or if they're just going to be a tag team, you know, until they run out of use. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see where they go with him from now on.
Yeah, I think if they go ahead, like, I don't know if they will, but if they let him loose and let him do his broken stuff, if they can find a way to do that, in a year's time, we might be having a different conversation about Matt Hardy, because
100%.
Because that stuff it doesn't count for this, but it was inspired. And if it could be on the bigger plane with little interference, I think they can do quite well with it.
I think the thing about Matt Hardy is, as we kind of move into the promo of it all, is that he's always had big ideas. He's just never necessarily been able to execute them as much as he would like to.
Right.
I'll point to his version one character. Like, that was a big idea. You can even go back to his Omega stuff. The Omega stuff that him and Jeff were doing, which really is probably the closest to the Broken Universe outside of the Broken Universe, is their earlier Omega stuff. These guys are just very creative and have a ton of ideas. And I think, again, I'll go to his version one character, which was his first chance to break out after a pretty bland run on Team Extreme. But he was the one who came up with these Matt facts, with the fact that he was this delusional guy and he was trying to, you know, cut down to be a cruiserweight, and he was ruling the cruiserweight division, and he had a sidekick, and just he was basically this guru. It was a huge idea and he executed it very well. Some of his other big ideas, like, I think he had an image of who he was supposed to be when he came back from, like, being cuckolded by Edge. I think he had this idea of this great, you know, like, vigilante character who was going to fly out of the crowds and be an Avenger, and I don't think that really pulled together because, again, it was you nailed it. It was too grounded in reality, and he wanted to be this larger-than-life superhero. But I think the times when he's had to go big, he's done well. When he swings for the fences, he does well. When he tries to play, he doesn't play the long ball, that he tends to falter.
Which is why, like, I think it's safe to say, for me anyway, the broken stuff is his best character work. And it's not surprising that it happened outside of the WWE.
Because, not at all.
Because an idea like that would probably never get the chance to grow in the company. They'd give it maybe a week or two and then shut it down if it wasn't getting an immediate reaction, right? So there's something there.
Right.
We don't know these other big ideas he's had. Like, it's possible that with more patience, they might have turned out better.
Yeah. And I think, again, not to keep going back to the same place, but the closest comparison you have to what he did with Broken is version one.
Yep.
And version one succeeded because it was on SmackDown when Paul Heyman was running it.
Yeah.
It's not, that's not a coincidence. It was on SmackDown when Vince wasn't paying attention, when Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit and those guys were going out there and having five-star matches, and Brock Lesnar was, you know, cooking his champion, and Matt Hardy was getting to do his version one stuff. It was all on SmackDown as run by Paul Heyman. And I think that's it, it proves your point that the minute WWE scrutinizes and pays attention to Matt Hardy is when Matt Hardy tends to falter.
Yeah, but that's a lot of guys. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's not a Matt Hardy story.
Sure.
That's, my goodness, like, just as recent as Zack yeah. Ryder. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, they shut that shit down so fast. Like,
so fast. So I think, I mean, we covered everything with Matt Hardy because we kind of already got into promos and work rate.
Yeah, I mean,
what else do you want to talk about?
I mean, the promos, I mean, there's probably no one great promo that we could call.
No.
Like, he's very hurt in that category.
That's the problem, is that one where he came back after the Edge incident, that should be the promo we point to, right?
Yeah.
Like, in a perfect world, that was a great promo, but he just didn't deliver.
But it also doesn't help that, like, he's introduced by Vince McMahon. He comes,
that really hurt him.
You know, like, it none of it made sense. Like,
no, they definitely botched that one. Ever all around, that was not well handled.
Like, I would almost say that the call where he called in to bite this is a better, more realistic promo.
That may be his best promo.
Yeah. Like,
and he's always been weak on promos unless he's playing a ridiculous over the top character.
Well, that's it. And someone who's in that, like, a real cuckold, right? Like, isn't mm-hmm. there to talk.
No.
Like, if you're going after the person who stole your girlfriend, you're not there to take them apart verbally. You're going to beat the shit out
right.
of them. And so, like, I'm curious if they had not let him, if they had not made him talk. I mean, I don't know if that was his idea, mm-hmm. their ideas. Like, how much differently that would have played out.
It's a good point. It's a good question.
Because I remember, like, even though, like, that, I would say that feud is a failure for him. Like, as far as that Taboo Tuesday that year, he was still getting the huge reactions. He was
For sure.
He won the vote for the fans, like, at that show when they were pushing for it to be JBL. Like,
right.
There was something there that they didn't capitalize on, and it's, I'm curious as to, like, I do want to put the blame on him because he didn't quite seize it, but it's also on them and how they booked it to a degree.
He was never not a sympathetic character after that. You can look at his heel turns, you know, when he feuded with Jeff.
Yeah.
It was short-lived, and short-lived for a reason, I think. It's because the crowd always had sympathy for him after he got screwed over by Edge. They always saw a little bit of themselves in Matt Hardy, in the guy who got screwed over, the guy who, you know, should have had it all. And
right.
I think he didn't ride it to the main event, but he rode it to a comfortable place where, up until the end of his first WWE run, he resided as just a guy that everybody liked. I remember when he was on ECW, Matt Stryker used to call him everybody's favorite wrestler, Matt Hardy, because he was. Everyone just loved Matt Hardy and just wanted to see him succeed because this poor guy, you know, he had such a shitty life.
Yeah,
we just wanted to see him win and get titles and stuff like that. So,
but
I think he
a cuckold though who loses to his cuckolder,
yes,
will never be a top guy.
Like, exactly. We sympathized for him. We never respected him.
No, we never sympathized for Hulk Hogan. Like we had moments where we were scared for him or he got hurt, but like you were never like, oh, poor Hulk Hogan. Like as soon as you're describing a wrestler as poor such and such, he's done as a credible wrestler.
Absolutely. I get it.
Yeah.
So that said, where does Matt Hardy fall on the list of, if there's 100 guys, is Matt Hardy in that top 100? I think he is, because going back to what we originally touched on, I think he changed tag team wrestling with his brother. And then I think he carved out a career for himself across more than a decade where he played multiple successful characters and had some good matches along the way. So to me, he's a low top 100 placer, but I do think him just by virtue of his tag team work, of his characters and his longevity is going to make my list.
Yeah, I think he's near the bottom. Like,
for sure.
I mean, maybe between 90 and 100.
Yeah, I think so.
For me, you know what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to end up going back and comparing him to Christian, because they have they have divergent strengths and weaknesses. Like, Matt Hardy has a slew of great characters. Christian has very little great characters, in my view. But Christian has many more great matches. Like, so it'll be balancing those two. They'll probably end up falling around the same place as one another. And then, if anything,
I agree.
If anything, Matt Hardy might fall back a bit just from the lack of volume of great matches.
Yeah. There you go. I think we settled it on Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And, hopefully we'll be back and doing another one of these on someone else.
Yeah.
Who's not Matt Hardy.
God. Can't wait.
Till then.
Yeah.
We analyzed the shit out of him, but yeah, we totally faltered at the end, just like Matt Hardy.
I didn't want to bring it up on the thing. When I in the summer of 2005, do you remember the Raw where, like, Michaels did the promo in Montreal and they played Bret Hart's music?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, after that show, we went to this karaoke bar, me and my buddy, and all the wrestlers showed up with Pat Patterson.
Oh, cool.
Matt Hardy was there, okay? And, like, my buddy, it was right around that time, and my buddy had just went through basically the same thing as Matt Hardy. Like, his girlfriend had cheated on him with another guy, and so my buddy ended up chatting with Matt Hardy, and he just went up to him and said something along the lines of, like, look, I know what you're going through, man. Like, I'm like, along those lines, like,
trying
to empathize with him. And Matt Hardy grabbed him by the hair, because he had longer hair, and he pulled him in, like, to whisper in his ear and said, "This Sunday, man, I don't know what I'm going to do to Edge. I don't know if I can stay professional." Like,
that's amazing.
He's still just selling this character with a guy who's genuinely
genuinely trying to help him, and he's just like, "Let me cut a promo." Yeah. That's classic.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have shared that. That would have been great.
I'll put it at the end or something. That's great. Oh, yeah!